Welcome to Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a program dedicated to biblical truth and prophecy featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
How's the DVD been going? Have you got a lot of them out or what?
Well, how about an
82-year-old last week, watched it and everything started making sense to her. And so,
really? Well, amen. Well, you know, Richard, I've shared over the years, I've shared your DVDs and CDs and the book Too Long in the Sun with many other people, and that I've seen that happen more than once. They watch it and they go, I can't believe that. That's just all so simple. You know, well, I tell them, well, it's all been right there all along in the Bible. You know, all you got to do is look. But, so it is, it's fantastic. How long ago was it you did Too Long in the Sun? That's been a little while, hasn't it?
It's been a long time. I can't even remember the starting date. It's been, 15 years ago or more?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, who cares? At my age, 57, I can't remember what was next last year, you know. I just know it to be a little while ago. Anyway,
the book Too Long in the Sun was...
What? Go ahead.
The book Too Long in the Sun was, was true when I wrote it, and it'll be true as long as time lasts. So, you know, it's still, people are really using it all over the world.
Yeah, absolutely. It has a lot of greatest illustrations in it and everything. But this half God said is, it stands alone, or not half God said, but time is the ally of deceit. That just stands alone by itself. You have such wonderful pictures in there. It's breathtaking. Tell us a little bit about that before we get into our main topic tonight.
Well, you know, I wrote the book Time is the Ally of Deceit based on the idea that if you give something enough time, it can get all messed up. And that's exactly what's happened to Christianity. And I produced 5 DVDs, 1 DVD to go with each historical chapter of the book. And in that is extensive documentation of what's happened to us. You know, when I first learned it, it was just hard to believe, and I wanted to find out not only what had happened, but how it could have possibly happened. And so I've got extensive documentation in that book and DVD set. And also a big index in the back. So when you want to look these things up, when you're talking to other people, you can look them right up and have the historical references to back you up. And basically the Half God Said DVD is a summary of that. And it's only an hour long, so I can't give all the documentation. I can tell the story pretty good, but if you want the documentation, it just takes a lot longer to provide that.
No, we don't have time for all of that, but you know, the story, it's a wonderful story. You might just give them a taste of it. We've got to go an hour tonight, but let's not forget that in the second half hour, I want you to make sure that we get into that thing that you sent out. Well, what is that? It's a weekly alert that people can get, and it's a bodyguard for every child. Is that your weekly alerts?
That's one of them. I do a video commentary each week on WorldNet Daily. And, for people that sign up on my email list, I send out a link each week and also the written text. And so people can look at it if they don't mind looking at me, or they can just read it if they don't want to.
Okay. I don't mind looking at you. Well, you're not bad looking. You're not an eyesore yet. You got a couple of years left, I guess. But anyway, yeah, it's been, those words are fantastic, folks. You need to go to toolong.com, right? And you can find what a link to find those to sign up.
That's right. Just go to, email list or sign up for our email updates or whatever. And we'll send you out one each week with that link to the video commentaries. And just from time to time when we have special announcements about meetings and things like that, you'll get those too. So if we're in your area. We'd like to see you.
Well, let's go back to that time as an ally of deceit for a few minutes. We'll talk about that in the first half, and we'll talk about the other in the second half. Just tell us a little, tell the folks a little about now. I've watched it, more than once in the book, but tell the folks a little bit about what it is. Take them into it.
Well, let me start with the first book, Too Long in the Sun. What I found was everything that was opposed to the true worship of the God of the Bible was based on sun worship. You know, in the Old Testament, we read about the god Baal and the goddesses and all that. When you trace that back, you find out it's actually sun worship, or the worship of the sun god and the mother goddess. And about, you know, 25 years ago, I found out that many of the things that I'd been taught in church were based on tradition rather than what the Bible actually teaches. You know, the average church-going person does not know it. I didn't know it. But I found out that the church leaders, the educated theologians, are well aware of these things, but they just don't tell us. And so,
really? Let me, for just a moment. I just thought, and this is pretty shocking, I thought I'd share with you and get your comment on this. I just saw a study that says many Christians don't follow a lifestyle of following Jesus daily. The rough number of these new Christians was about 30% who really don't follow the word, but yet portray themselves to be Christians and basically just following traditions.
Well, the percentage is actually a little higher than that, according to some of the studies. But basically, people are leaving the churches in droves, and the theologians can't seem to figure out why. And I believe the reason is that they're finding out that they hadn't been told the truth. You know, there's a lot of good people in churches that just don't know the things we've had the privilege to learn. So I'm not anti-church, but you got to tell the truth when people get there. And so those are some of the things that I was shocked to learn, and you know, I've just tried to document what's going on ever since.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, it hardly seems that a church even preaches about sin anymore. They just all have, it seems like, some kind of a soft doctrine or even a social doctrine, you know, but no meat in it. Do you think that's not how it's supposed to be, is it?
No, I don't think that's what it's like. I don't think that's what first century Christianity was like at all. What was first century church like? Well, you know, the first thing I learned was that you know, Easter, Christmas, and Sunday rest cannot be found in the Bible. They're based on traditions that were developed from pagan sun worshipers. And that sounds pretty harsh, but that's just the bottom line fact. There's no way to get around it. Once again, the theologians know that, but they won't tell anybody. And now, you know, now what's happening is the atheists are turning that back on the on Christianity and saying, look, Jesus was just another sun god. He never really existed. He was just a myth, just like all the other sun gods. And because the theologians have failed to tell the truth, they don't have a leg to stand on. They cannot defend Christianity. And, you know, internet sites are documenting these things, and people are watching it by the millions. Young people are going to college, and they're taught these things, and they're shown how elements of sun worship have been associated with Christianity, and they believe that's what Christianity is. And so, once again, young people are leaving the churches. They're departing from the faith. They've been persuaded that Jesus is a myth, that he never existed, and folks can't seem to figure out why that is. And it's because, just as the scriptures prophesied, there would be a time when knowledge would increase. And so now, you know, in years past, very few people could read. And then, you know, and a little bit later on, you could go to the library and look things up, but you had to know what to look up. But now you can go to the internet and type any subject right in and get hundreds, if not thousands, of sites that give you all the details. And that's what's going on. And when you type in Christmas, Easter, and Sunday rest, you'll find out right quick that they came from pagan sun worship.
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, back on what you said, that a person can, and that's an astounding thing that got me, you know, way back when I first started using the internet, that you could type in any kind of thought, whether it be good or evil, and I'm talking about the evil, you type in anything evil, and you could find loads and loads of stuff on it and how to do it or whatever, you know, and that's just, you know, so how do we define the internet? Is it good or is it evil, Richard?
Well, you know, there's good and evil all around us. And so, you know, I don't suggest people look up those evil things, but I think we can learn a lot from you know, the historical references now available on the internet. A lot of lot of old books are now available on the internet, and I think it's a good tool if people use it wisely.
Yeah, absolutely. I found, you know, references to things that I used to like. You say I have to go to the library and look up through mountains and mountains of books and things to find what I wanted, and now I can just, you know, do a search, you know, right from my computer and find the book that I want and the things that I want. So it is an amazing tool if it is used properly. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Just type in Christmas, and it'll tell you that it was the known birthday of the pagan sun gods. It'll tell you about Mithraism and how Mithra was known to be born on December 25th. It'll tell you that that it was all part of the Saturnalia, the Roman festival it was at that time. If you type in Easter, you'll find out that, you know, there was an Anglo-Saxon theologian by the name of Venerable Bede who said that Easter was the name of a pagan fertility goddess in his day. And, you know, some people call her Eostra or Ostara. If you type in Ostara in the internet, thousands of witchcraft pages will come up making fun of Christians for celebrating their holiday. And so that's just a few examples of what we're talking about.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Richard, let me ask you this. I know you see it, and of course I already know the answer to this. This is just for the people, but there's such a large movement to drive, you know, the commandments, the Ten Commandments out of buildings and out of schools and just everywhere, the commandments out, God's name out, and so on and so forth. Can we expect God to bless our nation when we're trying to kick him out of our nation?
Well, I don't think he has to, that's for sure. I sure hope he doesn't give up on us because we live here. But, you know, he has his people all over the world in different places, and, you know, we're in the world, but we're not of the world. You know, when people refuse to do what he says, it's not a good thing to do. They thought they could do that all throughout the Old Testament. You know, he gave them commandments and told them what to do, and first thing you know, they were worshiping other gods and combining paganism with his worship, and what would happen is they would find themselves in captivity. They were slain in captivity, bad things going on, and the Old Testament tells us over and over and over why that was, and it's because the people did not keep his commandments. You know, King Solomon was the wisest. It had been given great wisdom, but we found out that later on in his life he became involved with the worship of Ashtoreth, which is the same thing as Astarte or Easter. And because of that, his kingdom was taken from him and divided. So when we break God's commandments and don't do what he says, he can't take care of us. Satan is still the god of this world. The kingdoms of this world have not yet become the kingdoms of our Lord. Satan is the god of this world. And when we break God's commandments, we put ourselves at his mercy. He has legal authority over those who break the commandments of the Creator. And so that's what people don't realize. You know, sin is the transgression of the law. And Satan has legal authority over lawbreakers.
Yeah, absolutely. I know that sin is transgression of the law. That's in, isn't that in 1 John, I think?
1 John 3.
Question. Right. Go ahead. When it says law, law, they're referring to what? The Old Testament, or specifically, you think the Ten Commandments?
I think it's talking about the Ten Commandments. A lot of times, people are talking about 613 laws, and you know, Maimonides was the one that came up with all that. But you can't find them. Some of them in the Bible. Some of them are specific to gender specific. Others had to do with the Levitical priesthood. So I believe it's talking about those Ten Commandments. There's a difference between the Ten Commandments and the Book of the Law of Moses. If you remember, the Ten Commandments were spoken by God on Mount Sinai in the hearing of all the people. He wrote on stone and instructed that they be placed inside the Ark of the Covenant. the book of the law of Moses, which includes the Levitical priesthood and the sacrificial system and the laws regarding that, were spoken to Moses and our Aaron, were written in a book, told to the people, and placed outside the Ark of the Covenant.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to have to break into you right now because we're going to go to a break in about 15 seconds. They can find all this at whattoolong.com.
That's right.
That's right, and it's that simple, folks. All you got to do is type in toolong.com, and it'll come up, and that is Too Long in the Sun. We'll be right back in 3 minutes with more Richard Reeves. Don't go away. Pastor Dan will be right back.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial short-wave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a Ku-band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click the satellite system.
Without clean water and air, you cannot maximize your health. MMS, or Miracle Mineral Solution Drops, can purify your water. And when mixed with citric acid, the chemical properties change and becomes a powerful water disinfectant. H2O Air Water Americas also has alkaline water ionizers, water filtration units, UV light purifiers, and whole room air purifiers, and provides free shipping within the continental U.S. on most items. In an effort to protect your right to get well, H2O Air Water Americas is a private healthcare membership association. You can find out more at their website at H2OAirWaterAmericas.com. That's H2OAirWaterAmericas.com. Food prices going up, homes being foreclosed, unemployment insurance running out, jobs leaving the country. Many people cannot afford to eat or keep a roof over their head. Too many can do neither. Messiah's Branch has a mission church in Wichita, Kansas that helps the victims of this banker's economy, the American people. Your neighbor, the mission is the last hope for so many Americans. We need your help to lift up the poorest of the poor. These are men, women, and children who once had homes, now in the street. They all need what you need. First aid, beds, food, clothing, and so on. You can send a monetary gift or a box of necessities to 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Or donate online by going to WichitaHomeless.com or simply call 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19, 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Oh, my God.
Foundation for our work with the homeless and poor from our mission church in Wichita, Kansas. But folks, people ask me, they say, well, Pastor Dan, aren't the homeless poor? Why do you say homeless and poor? Well, because the poor are the people in the neighborhood and across the city that still lack things. They may have enough money to keep a roof over their head, but they don't have clothes for their family, or they need some food, or they need a prayer, or they need a Bible, or they need first aid, or they need cold medicine. And, you know, I could go on and on and on with this list. Maybe they need a pair of shoes. This list goes on and on. And so, you know, we help anybody. We have no set guidelines. Like, if you go into most places that help people, they say, well, the office people pay for them more, basically see if you fit in our guidelines. We don't have any guidelines. You will walk to the door, and somebody directs you to me. If that is, if you just don't come in and sit down and have sandwiches or go to the clothes closet, but they want something specific, they direct them to me. And so then we talk in private, and if I feel led to do it, and I have the way to fill the need, then we fill it right there instantly. If not, we pray it in. And this is why so many agencies tell all their employees about the Father's Little Mission Church. You see, when guidelines stop them from helping, they send them to us. People who have millions of dollars in their budgets send people to a place that really has no budget. That sounds ludicrous, doesn't it? Anyway, we're the very last hope for so many. We're responsible, folks, all to care one for another, as we are brothers keepers. All donations, no matter what size, helps. And the Father does notice all donations that come from your heart. We do really need your help when you hear this, so please pray about it. You can donate online or by mailing a check or money order. You can find this information at prophecyhour.com, or you can simply call me on the phone at 620-878-4682 or my cell phone in an emergency, 316-619-4886. And now we're back with Richard Rees. If he hasn't left us yet, are you still on here with us?
I'm still here.
You're still here. Well, you don't always ask that question, because with live radio, just like we had a little bit of static coming in, we sometimes things drop and we don't have anything. Anyway, let's go back up to the start of this, why I asked you to come on. You said something after the Newtown, and one thing, Newtown, and the town tragedy. You know the thing, or and taped a little thing about Bodyguard for Every Child. You want to tell the folks about what that is?
Well, I think that's exactly what we need, is, you know, to protect children when they go to school or wherever they are. You know, there's a secret that most people are not aware of, and that is that, you know, Jesus said that those who offend little ones who believe in him would be better off if a millstone was hung around their neck and they were drowned in the depths of the sea. And he said that those children have angels in heaven which behold the face of God. And so what we need to do is we need to pray, and we need to teach our children about Jesus and about the Bible. And we need to put those Ten Commandments we've been talking about back in the schools. You know, in 1980, the Supreme Court ruled that the Ten Commandments shouldn't be posted on schoolroom walls. And since that time, things have just been downhill, and, you know, violence increases. You know, the scriptures say that in the last days, evil men will wax worse and worse. And, you know, that's what we got now, is violence in the schools, and, you know, they don't know what to do about it. Some people say you need to have armed guards, and other people say, no, you don't need that. But, you know, what we need is the Holy Spirit with those children in those schools. Violence is a behavioral problem. You want to hurt somebody. And, you know, what we need to do is have established rules against such things. And, you know, I believe that the source of the problem lies in the fact that, you know, now there's political correctness and there are no rules. You know, who's to say what's morally right and wrong?
Right.
And, you know, but those Ten Commandments are moral laws. They tell us what's right and wrong. And if people would go by those commandments, and then we wouldn't have near the problems that we're having today.
Well, let me interject this. Folks, if you're saved. But let me say this. If you don't have the fear of God to control you and you don't believe in anything, then you take God out of everything, then that creates a vacuum. And in that vacuum, the devil will go in. And if you don't have, so by taking God out of everything and being politically correct, we're just killing ourselves. And it's not going to get any better anytime in the future because there is like the restrainer is just being taken away. Am I anywhere close to being right, Richard?
Well, that's exactly right. As we talk about Satan as the god of this world, the scripture says he was a murderer from the beginning. And without God in the schools, he's taking charge and violence abounds and people can't figure out why. You're exactly right.
Well, absolutely. And so, you know, and folks, some of you, a lot of you out there, where you talk about, well, you didn't like how the election turned out and you don't like how the laws were going and such, but you have, by being silent, so many Christians, you know, Richard, I don't know if you noticed in the last election how many Christians or, you know, people that said they were Christians voted, but it wasn't very many. I mean, there was like, I think they use evangelical vote as a guideline. Only 50% of evangelicals even registered to vote. Out of that 50%, less than 25% even voted. So, you know, folks, if you're allowing evil to come in, you're allowing God to be kicked out, then, and you don't go, and just like we talked about versus this program, folks, that you're not even following his commandments, you're not even, that study was about where people were following Jesus. And it said that over 30% weren't following the words of Jesus. So if that is the case, how can we expect God to be there to protect us when we're kicking God out? What do you think, Richard?
Well, I agree with you 100%. You know, we talked about the Supreme Court saying you couldn't post those Ten Commandments on the schoolroom wall. It's kind of interesting to me that the ruling is called Stone versus Graham, if anybody wants to look that up. But anyway, the Supreme Court admitted that the last six commandments were important secular commandments. And we're talking about honoring one's parents, murder, adultery, stealing, false witness, and covetousness. But they had a problem with the first four, which tell us who our Creator is and how He wants us to worship Him. And that's exactly what's happening. Our churches are not standing up for the first four, and now they're losing all ten. And so, you know, we have to do something about that. Christianity, biblical Christianity, if Christians don't stand up for what the Bible talks about and the instructions in the Word of God, then, you know, we're going to lose it all.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that thing that a lot of people don't understand, maybe you could correct me if I'm wrong, but I think we're, like you said, they took the commandments out of the schools, but then they get into these colleges, and from what I hear, so many of these colleges are just, you know, put forth such terrible things. I mean, you know, I wouldn't want my children going to college to learn those things that are in the colleges. So we need to get things out, and I'm not trying to sell your books, but I guess I am trying to sell those newspapers and DVDs. Are you in agreement with me that those are a good idea to get those and hand them out? What was your suggestion on what would you do with them?
Well, that's what they're for. And once again, for all the listeners that want one of the Half God Said DVDs and a newspaper, all you got to do is send me an email with your address to info@toolong.com, TOOLONG.com, and I'll send you one free of charge, and you can't beat that.
Okay, folks, now if you're listening, a lot of you are out there listening on satellite radio tonight, and if for some reason you can't get on the internet, get a hold of me and I'll get you in touch with Richard. But you folks that are on the internet, and if you are listening to this in radio archives like a lot of you are doing, if you go back to wherever you're listening to this in archives or will be listening to this, I will put Richard's email address on there. Is that all right, Richard?
Yeah, just
okay.
My personal email address on there is Richard Reeves, RichardReeves at yahoo.com.
Oh, you want to give your personal? I would want the info at toolong.com, but at any rate, folks, the contact information is wherever you're, if you're listening to this other than on satellite radio or by the telephone, as some people do, if you're listening to this on the internet, you go to where you're listening to it at, and that information will be there where you can just click on the link and email him and get that, because, you know, I know that's he's offering you try before you buy. And because these are really important, and I'm really behind this, and this is the other part of the reason that I wanted him on a program is because these things are great. You can, the newspaper, you gave me some other newspapers one time, a long time ago, that I gave out, and they really did have an impact. I gave them out to a lot of the homeless, and they were just overwhelmed with them, and they really, really liked them. I gave them out to other people, and they really liked them. And I think it was just, I don't know what the name of that one was. I think it was just Too Long in the Sun or something. But they had a great effect. And the DVD, folks, that is a great DVD. You can share it with your family, people that don't want to read. And how much does the DVD cost? Is it very expensive?
Well, if you buy them one at a time, we sell them for $25. And so, I mean, it's a first-class, high-quality video, but I want to give you one if you're listening. And what I'm trying to do is get people to help me give those things away. And I've started a program I call the Faith of the Saints Evangelism Program. And the way it works is if you will contribute $25 a month to the program, you can get as many as 10 of these things to give away each month. We automatically send out one, and you have to tell me how many you need, but that makes them $2.50 a piece. Basically, that's what it costs me to make those things and you know, get them shipped and such as that. So, you know, that you can't do much better than that. I mean, it's like I say, it would retail anywhere for $25.
Oh, sure.
If you sell one at a time, that's what we do.
Yeah, any DVD that of somebody speaking about anything, just about whether it's on prophecy, the Bible, or anything, it's all $25 in some cases is cheap. They charge like for a double set up to $60, $70, $80, even $100. So $25 is a good price. And you're going to give them the first one free. And then, folks, if you like it, then you get into that program and do that because, you know, folks, time is getting shorter all the time. If we don't stand up and do something, we're going to lose our generations of children. We're going to lose our country. And so we need to stand up and do something. It is time to do that. Don't you think, Richard?
I think
you think so. I'm just trying to bring you back into conversation.
I understand.
You laugh at me a lot. You know that.
Well, you know, that's, you know, Mary Hart, you know what it says about that, don't you?
Yeah. Well, you know, the point, we've talked so many times on radio, of course I know that, and you know that, but these things, but you know, we get different people listening, so we've got to try to, you know, get the point across to them. And by the way, folks, you can go back and listen to it. Richard did programs with me on about Christmas and about Easter, and you can find those in our radio archives. Speaking of which, over there at toolong.com, don't you still have some videos over there, short videos about all those subjects?
Yeah, if you go to toolong.com, it has some excerpts from the Time is the Ally of Deceit video series. So if they go to my front page at www.toolong.com, and they can move down and click on the little short videos, and that's kind of a preview of what's in the, you know, in each of the hour videos. So there's probably five of them on the front page. And then, you know, like I say, if they'll sign up for my email updates every week, they'll get a link to the video video commentaries that I do for WorldNet Daily.
Okay. Hey, I sit here thinking about something that you could tell the folks about that might shock them. What about the use, the Christian use of a cross? Now, did the apostles use that? Where did that come from?
Well, no, they didn't. What I found out was cross crosses were pagan symbols, you know, long from centuries before the time of Christ. The first century believers did not use those signs. They were, you know, adopted later on. But basically I found out that the Mithras, there was a Persian sun god by the name of Mithra, and the church historian Tertullian says that the Mithras placed the sign of the cross on their foreheads. He says that Mithra there in the kingdom of Satan sets his mark on the foreheads of his soldiers. And so, no, crosses were not Christian symbols. We found them way back in ancient times.
Well, what about I see a lot of cars, you know, you look at the back of them, they'll say something about Jesus, and then they'll have a neat-looking little fish on it. It's so that they all right, use that fish.
Well, you know, what I found was when I checked out the fish, I could find no, you know, I do archaeological work, and I spent several days in Israel looking for any indication that the early believers used that symbol, and I could not. I did find fish symbols that were in reference to Dagon, the pagan god Dagon. If you remember, when the Philistines stole the Ark of the Covenant, they took it and put it in the temple of Dagon, and of course, that old pagan statue couldn't stand before the presence of God and fell over and broke his neck on the threshold of the floor. And so, you know, once again, I could find no indication that early Christians used fish symbols. I know that's what we've been told, but I couldn't find it anywhere. And I've really tried hard to.
Well, and I want the folks to know, for the research that you've been in your books and your DVDs and everything, you're an archaeologist, just like you say. You went out and searched these things out, and you've really got some astounding things in there, pictures of statues that have just, don't you have some statue pictures that have, the statue just been renamed from, like, you know, a sun god to be renamed, you know, Jesus or something?
Yeah, there's indications of that all over the place, and like I say, you know, in the Half God in the Time Is Thou Out of the Seat DVDs, when I tell people about things, I like to take them on site and show them actual pictures or video footage where I've actually been there and studied it out. And you know, they say a picture tells a thousand words, and so I got a lot of pictures.
Okay, well, we got to listen, folks. We got about 5 minutes left, so I'm going to ask Richard Bork one other thing. Richard, tell them how you're connected with war. I think that needs to be brought into this picture.
Well, speaking of WAR, Wyatt Archaeological Research, I'm the president of Wyatt Archaeological Research. I work with Ron Wyatt the last 10 years of his life, and so we have a museum here in Tennessee. Where we display some of the artifacts and talk to people about those things. Our recent project is in the old city of Jerusalem, actually under the old city of Jerusalem. We're about 75 feet under Mount Moriah, the Temple Mount. And some people believe that, according to Jewish legend, temple treasures were transported out through those caverns to a place of safety during the Babylonian siege. And got about 60 people working over there this year, and we're down there 75 feet down in an area very few people know is even there. And we're following those passageways.
Well, that's really interesting. Are you putting updates about that on the Archivore site or no?
Well, we do some updates. If people want to sign up, our website on that is wyattmuseum.com. If they want to sign up for our email updates, we do give information about that. Basically, everything we do now is published in scientific journals. We work directly with the Department of Antiquities in Israel. So we have to wait until it's published before we can present the information. So, you know, we work, and then we have to wait a while until that's published, and then we provide people with that published information. So it's all scientifically documented backwards and forwards.
Right. You know, I have a hard time with that. You know, if I'm digging for something and I'm looking for something and I go like, you know, what I did with the gold Eureka, I found it, I want to shoot my mouth off and say, hey, I found it, and tell everybody. Don't you find it a little hard to just to wait?
Well, we can, we can talk about it. It's not that we can't talk about it, but we can't give our opinions as to what has been located until it's published. And then after that, we can give our opinions about it. But the Department of Antiquities never has prevented us from telling anybody anything. They've been very cooperative, and if there was no secrets like that, it's just that's the deal we have with them, and so we do what we say, and they do what they say. But
I'm just trying to find out what's going on. You know, find out if there's not something been found that I don't know about. That's kind of the way it is on this program. I don't quite call myself an investigative reporter, but I try to get everything I can out of everybody. But have you found anything? I mean, that's unusual or that, we don't want to talk about.
No, we talk about it. We found defensive walls down there. This is an area below King Solomon's quarries where the temple stones were quarried down there. The scriptures tell us that you couldn't hear the sound of the workmen's tools as they were building the temple. And the reason is because they were quarrying the stones and preparing them underground. Now, we're working in a level under that, under King Solomon's quarries. And we found defensive walls down there with arrow ports in them, and gates that had locking bars on them. We found a passageway with a double gate on it. The gate's not there anymore, but we found the sockets for the hinges. And it's a doorway probably, 10, 15 feet wide and about that tall, and it's leading into another room. And our problem is that room is full of debris, the ceiling's caving in, and so we're trying to figure out how to continue on. We have engineers working on that, trying to design the shoring and such as that.
Right.
Not anything we're keeping secret.
Well, that's really interesting work. Look, I'm going to have to get, we've come to the end of our hour. I appreciate you being on with me. And I sure hope, folks, you pray about getting the DVD and the newspaper. And, Richard, I hope you get a response from it. And I pray for your work, and I pray for the newspaper. So thanks for being on with me, brother.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Bye-bye. Folks, Richard's a good dude, and he's funny. He's just real straightforward, and he deals with the facts as he has found them. He doesn't say that he knows absolutely everything, but he presents the evidence that he has found. If you have a question, that's something that may be contrary to what he said he found or whatever, he's the kind of guy that you can email him and ask him or call him and ask him, and he'll talk it over with you. But, you know, I haven't really found him in here, but anyway, these books, or not books, but these DVDs, he's offering you a free DVD, How God Said. Get it. Get the free magazine that goes along with it. Anyway, we're going to have to be heading out of here, and so, folks, I want you to please remember to pray for the Wichita Mission Church. We really do need your help over there. It's wintertime. We're taking care of people that are outside. We're taking care of families and just a whole lot of different people, but we really do need your help. And now, folks, we must remember that there's only one God. He is the Father, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His son is Yeshua, HaMashiach. He gave his life for repentant sins. He rose after 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Through him is the only way to the Father. Remember, folks, always be a blessing to others. How can you not be a blessing to others? If you have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, how can you not be a blessing to others? How can you be blind to those in need? Can you do that? Remember, the first part of all charity should start within your own home, your own family, that whether it be your sons and daughters or your brothers and sisters, your mother and father, aunts and uncles, start with your own family. And when you do those things, you know, make sure that you try to lead them to Messiah. Don't just take no for an answer. Anyway, remember, always be a blessing to others. Anyway, remember, always be and you're still home in Jesus' name, that the Father blesses and keeps you, and his face shines upon you, and is gracious to you, and gives you peace. Until the first day of the week, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time with Messiah's Branch.